So last week we had talked about the ego, and 2 weeks ago we had done verse number 22, where we had studied these nine forms of devotion or love for God, how one can practice devotion or love for God, and we had enumerated them: Shravanam, listening to His glories; Kirtanam, singing the Lord's glories and bringing them in our life; Smaranam, constantly remembering; Pada Sevanam, serving the Lord and making our life worthwhile by serving the world; and then Archanam is worship; Vandanam is prostrating to the Lord, removing one's ego; Dasyam is becoming a servant; Sakhyam is becoming a friend; and then ultimately Atma Nivedanam, or total surrender to the Lord. Now they say, who gave these nine steps to us? Where did they come from? So in verse number 23, there is a story about a great devotee of the Lord, a young boy, who told this to his father. So we'll read verse number 23, and then I'll tell you the story about this remarkable young boy.
Iti Bhagavate Skandhe Saptame Proktavan Sudhihi Prahlada Sadhanam Bhakteihi Hiranyakashipum Prati.
So there was a, it says, this Bhagavat Skande, Bhagavat is one of our ancient texts. So in the seventh chapter or seventh canto of this text, Proktavan, it was said by who? Sudhi Prahlad, the wise Prahlad. What? These nine steps of devotion to whom? Hiranyakashyapu. So who was Hiranyakashyapu and who was Prahlad? It's an interesting story. So today is mostly a day for stories. I know everybody likes stories. So, so Hiranyakashyapu was a demon king. He was very evil, but he had the desire to be very, very powerful. He wanted to dominate not only earth, which he could, but he also wanted to dominate heaven and hell, all the three worlds. He wanted to be the Lord. So he goes to the Himalayas, to the mountains, and he meditates and he meditates and he meditates, and he sits for years without moving, without eating, without drinking, and he could go into deep meditation. He had learned from his teacher in the heat and cold and snow, and didn't care. And he meditated for so many years that finally the Lord appeared. The Brahmaji, the creator, appeared and said, what would you like? Because when you put enough effort, then the Lord has to fulfill it, whether it's an evil or a good desire. But if you put in the right effort, the Lord has to fulfill. So he said, what do you want? He said, I want to become immortal. I don't want to die. So God said, that's not possible. Whoever is born has to die. You were born, so you have to die. He said, okay, bless me that I should not be killed by man or by God or by demon. Said, okay. I should not be killed in the day or night. Okay. I should not be killed inside or outside my house. Okay. I should not be killed by any weapons. Okay. I should not be killed on earth or on space. Said, okay, I'm ready to die, but these are the conditions. Neither man nor God nor demon. Neither on earth nor on space, neither inside nor outside my house, neither in day or night, and not by any weapons. Said, okay. You know, he had to grant it. He said, okay, granted. Now he became very egoistic because he had all this power granted by the Lord, and he could not be killed by anybody. So he conquered the whole earth because man could not defeat him. He conquered all the hells because demons could not defeat him, and he conquered all the heavens because gods could not defeat him. And he became so powerful, very egocentric, very arrogant, very evil he was. But he had all the power. And see, he said, from now on, nobody will worship God. I will be worshipped. All God's temples were destroyed and his temples were built throughout earth. He said, anybody worships, they have to worship me. Hiranyakashyapu. He said, I will only be worshipped. So people had no choice. Because if anybody was caught worshipping God, his spies and guards were there, he would be instantly killed. So they had to worship him, you know, offer prayers to him and chant his name, and all the mantras were made for him and prayers were made for him. Now it so happened his wife was a very divine soul. She was not like him. She was very gentle, very loving. And she liked the company of saints. So when she was pregnant of a very famous saint, Naradji, who was a great devotee of the Lord, came to visit her. And she talked to him, and it said that Narad, the saint, preached to the mother, and the child in the womb heard the great saint talking. But the child himself turned out to be Prahlad, the young boy, noble son of this evil king. So having heard these noble words from the saint in the womb, and also I guess after birth, because living with this noble mother, it is said he acquired the noble values. Even though he was the son of a demon, he was a very great devotee of the Lord. He loved God in the form of Vishnu. Vishnu is the one we say where Krishna and Ram came from him. He's the origin of them. So he loved Vishnu. He said, people used to say, you know, your father needs to be worshipped. No, my father is not the God. There is a real God in heaven and his name is Vishnu. And he was sent to school when he was five, and all the school children in the morning were supposed to pray. You know, we pray, and they would all say, Hiranyakashyapu is our God, and we pray to him. And after the prayers were over, he would go and say, you know, that's my father. He's no God. He's a demon. The real God is in heaven, and his name is Vishnu. And so he would teach them all the prayers of the gods. And so the teachers found out, you know, that this is what he's doing, because the children were going around chanting God's name instead of this evil demon king. So they went and told the father, you know, your son, and they couldn't punish him because he was the king's son. You know, the teacher is afraid. So they go and tell the evil king that your son is, you know, teaching all the wrong things to the children. He said, what? He's teaching them to worship God and telling them not to worship you. He said, really? My own son? If somebody else did it, I would understand. How can he do that? So he called him. He said, what have you been learning in school? So he said, father, I have been learning these 9 things. This is how you should pray to God, and God is Vishnu. So I pray to him, and these are the 9 methods I do. So he got very angry. He said, you better stop it. He said, father, I'm sorry, I can't. He said, I'll have you killed. He said, okay, it's okay. So it says an elephant was called, a wild elephant, and he was tied and put in the way. And the elephant was brought and, you know, to step on him. And the elephant, instead of stepping on him, found a flower garland from nearby and put it on the little boy. He said, elephant, even this mad elephant was supposed to kill him. Okay, we'll take him to the cliff and throw him. So he was tied and thrown over the cliff. He told his soldiers, you know, he said, this poor little boy, I don't care. He's worshiping, not worship. Thrown over the cliff, and it says God actually was standing there and he held him. He gently landed. I can't kill this boy even. So he said, okay, his sister had a boon that fire could not burn her. Her name was Holika, and fire could not burn her. So she was given a special boon. She had this special power. So he said, you take this boy in your lap and enter into the fire, and then the boy will surely be burned. So a huge fire was lit with wood and all. And the sister of this demon took the boy in her lap and entered the fire. And it is said the lady got burnt, and the boy was safe. So finally, he can't take it anymore. He said, I'm going to kill him myself. So he drags him into the palace hall. And he takes out his sword. He said, I'm going to kill you right now. He said, okay, go ahead and kill me. But God will save me. He said, what God? Where is God? He said, my God is everywhere. He said, is he in this pillar? There was a pillar in the palace. Yep, he's in this pillar. I see him very clearly. He says, he is. So he was so strong, this demon, he kicked the pillar and smashed it, you know, broke it into bits. And out of that pillar came God, but he came in the form of a lion, half lion and half man. The feet were of men, but the body and the face was of a lion, and he had claws like a lion. So he grabs this demon, you know, he was very powerful, and takes him Now see, he cannot kill him inside the house, outside the house, day and night, all those conditions. He said, no problem. So he takes him at the threshold, which is neither inside nor outside the house, just and inside the door. Mm. He said, I'm neither inside nor out. And it was twilight, so it was neither day nor night. He said, I cannot be killed in earth or space. So he put him in his lap. So he was neither on earth nor in space. He was on his lap. He said, I cannot be killed by man, demon, or God. He was none of these. He was a lion. And I cannot be killed by weapon. Remember, that was his fifth condition. So he took his claws and tore open his stomach and killed him. So the point is, the story is, whatever the story is. But the point is that when the devotee of the Lord has true love for God, then nothing matters, no matter what kind of obstacles, what kind of problems, even the fear of death does not affect this person. And not only that, but the Lord has promised that my devotee, if he truly remembers me with love, na me bhaktav pranashyati, he says in the Gita, he says, my devotee will never perish. I'll make sure I'll come and save him. And so that's this beauty of the story. It shows how much God loves us and what all he is ready to do for us, if our prayers are sincere, if our love. And it doesn't matter what form. Like I said, he appeared in the form of a lion. Whatever form you worship the Lord, he comes and blesses you. You call him Jesus, you call him Buddha, you call him Krishna. It doesn't matter, but you should have love, should have devotion. So that's the beauty of this story. So now somebody might say, 9 is too much. But telling us to practice 9, I cannot even do 1. And you want me to do 9? Forget it. I want a simple. We are all looking for shortcuts. In this modern age, we want every problem should be solved in 30 minutes. That's the extent of our concentration. In the TV, half hour show, there is a problem created, and then there's a detective who solves the problem, captures the villain, and everybody lives happily ever after. And out of 30 minutes, they have 10 minutes commercials. So 20 minutes, we want the problem to be solved. I don't want 9 things. Give me one thing. Okay, you want one thing? Here it is. One thing that will give you the benefit of all 9. Oh, that I can do. Okay, then do it. So verse number 24. Sadhaneshu cha sarveshu
satsang sadhanam param. Nam param Valmiki Dhruva Prahladau satsangat prapnuvan param.
Sadhaneshu sarveshu, among all these 9, what is the best? What is the one? Satsang. What is satsang? Satsang is the company of the good. Company of the good, also sat means good. Sat also means company of God. So people who are God-like people or godly people, the company of them, param, it is the highest, it is the best. That one alone is equal to all 9. If you do that properly, have the company of saintly people, that is equal to doing all 9. And what is the proof? Then he has given the proof, the story of Valmiki, Dhruva and Prahlad. Prahlad we already heard about. Valmiki and Dhruva, at the end, if we have time, I'll tell you the stories. And he says they got this highest benefit just by satsang, by company of the good. Now what do we mean by company of the good? And who are these good people? So they say you can judge a person by 3 things, by his vichar, prachar and achar. Vichar are the thoughts, individual's thoughts, prachar are his words, and achar is his or her conduct. So when we live with such a person, a saintly person, a divine person, or we associate with them, we listen to them, Their words are very powerful. Why? Because they have divine thoughts. Because their thoughts are always centered on the higher, on the self. The Lord that is outside, the Lord that is within that. Their mind is always in that higher realm of thinking. And so when they are in that realm, then when they talk, their words come out of deep silence, of great purity, of great, you know, elevated, great, wonderful thoughts come out, wonderful words come out of them. But suppose you cannot, sometimes these saints are hard to find, then we said read good books or watch the videos or listen to the CDs. But best is if you can directly listen to a saint, because the direct contact has its own power, because they have so much spiritual power that when you sit in their presence and when you talk to them, when you meditate with them, you get the benefit. But say if you can't do it, or you know, the saints like here, for example, they come once a month. So you say, what about the rest of the time? The rest of the time, read good books, watch videos, listen to the CDs and talks and so on. And then when you watch these people, you listen to them, you come in contact with their words and their thoughts, you also see their conduct, how these people conduct themselves. And when you, I have had the good fortune of meeting a lot of wonderful saintly people through the Chinmaya Mission and through my other, you know, travels. And because I always make an effort to meet these saintly people like Eckhart Tolle and, you know, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. And of course, all the Swamijis of our Chinmaya Mission, you see their conduct, you see how they behave, how they conduct themselves, how pure their words are, how pure their actions are. So it inspires us. Because if we are on the spiritual path, when you see somebody who is evolved, and you say he was an ordinary human, he went to school and then he became a doctor, engineer and so on. Some of these, we find some of our Swamijis, they're engineers or they are, you know, professors and all, but through their devotion to the Lord and through right knowledge and through contact with the teacher, Swami Chinmayananda, they evolved to become great saints. So we can also become like them. So it becomes like a role model for us. So we can pattern our life after them. But they say, what is the benefit of company of saints? Satsang. What is satsang means? The company of saintly people or the company of God. So what is the benefit of that? So there is a beautiful verse in Bhaj Govindam. We have the text in the office. It says, Satsangatve nissangatvam, nissangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischal tatvam, nischal tatve jivan muktihi. So it says, with the satsang, with the contact with good people, you develop detachment. Because then you realize that if these people, how much they could progress by detaching. And maybe you and I cannot leave our family and become monks like them, but at least we can develop a healthy relationship where we do not spend our life madly in pursuit of worldly things and objects and people and all. But I keep them within the right relationship, but my main goal is spiritual progress. So you slowly detach your mind from worldly attachments, and I don't waste my time in useless pursuits. I do what is necessary for my livelihood, to take care of my family, but whatever spare time I have, I spend it in spiritual knowledge. So I develop a healthy detachment from worldly objects. And when I develop detachment, and when I come in contact with these saints and with their words, I remove my delusion. See, we have a lot of delusion, a lot of ignorance of who is God and what is this world. And we think that this world is the only thing real. God, I don't know, maybe where he is, I don't see him. Maybe he's there. Yeah, the Bible says he is. So he must be there somewhere. But right now, what is important is, you know, what am I going to do with my life? God, I'll see maybe after retirement. So we have all these delusion. And so we think this world is real and God may exist somewhere. Yeah, he created me, but he's there somewhere. And from time to time, you know, I have to remember him once a week. So just to keep him happy, I go to church every Sunday, so he doesn't get angry with me. So we have all these wrong ideas, and so we give more reality to the world and less reality to God, and that is delusion. So with contact, they tell us that there is only one reality, there is only one, and that is the consciousness, God, Brahman. All this world is just an appearance upon that. It's just a play, just a game. And so you develop a healthier relationship with the world where you don't take the world too seriously. Just take it as one great big joke. Which the world is, it is a great big joke. It's not serious. Just take it as a joke. Don't take the world too seriously. The world doesn't take you seriously anyway. They don't care for you, so why do you care for them? Just take this world as a joke. Remove your delusion. And when you do that, then you get a vision of reality. Then you see the truth as it is. Because then you come to know what is right, what is wrong, what is real, what is unreal, what is permanent, what is temporary. What is my goal? What is not my goal? So that ignorance is removed by contact with the saints. And then you see that there is one reality called Brahman or consciousness, which is the substratum and which is me also. I also am that Om. And this whole universe is that one consciousness expressing as different names and forms, different colors, different shapes, trees, plants, birds, animals, fish, humans. They're all that one reality. So you get a vision of that reality. Vision does not mean you see it, but you see as you understand. Yeah, I see. I see. So you see yourself as an expression of the divinity and everybody else as that one divinity. And once you have that, then you are liberated while living. You don't need to die. You don't need to go to heaven. While living, you become a saint. You become a liberated soul. Then you are free. Because then what? There is only one permanent reality, and I am permanent. I am that reality. So you are free. Even the fear of death cannot affect such an individual. Even you may crucify him or tie him to the stake. Anything you can do, but that person does not get deluded. So that liberation while living is the goal of all human beings. So while living, even death cannot fear us. Forget about loss of limb or loss of money or loss of house. These are all mine. It's not real anyway. It's not important. It does not mean that you should go tomorrow and give away your house and car and all that. But you do not give too much importance. You realize what is important in life. And then with this detachment, only love of God can come. Because unless you detach, because we are holding on so much to these worldly objects and people and things and position and power. And we give so much importance and so much time. That we don't really have time for God. So like we say, you know, I want this, 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 and also God. So God is somewhere in one corner, you know, after my house and my wife and my children and my house and my bank account and my stock portfolio and my job and all that. And then, yeah, somewhere in one corner, we have a little corner for God. So, no, you have to develop, make him the most important person in your life. And they say, recognize. When you see such a great person, recognize him. But what we do, most of these great saints are very humble. They're very modest. They're very simple. They say, such a simple person, he cannot be great. He can't be a noble soul. He's an ordinary person. Forget it. I'm not going to. Or suppose he's a very powerful speaker and he has thousands of followers. And people touch his feet and he writes good books and he's a lot of videos. He's in it for publicity. He's just trying to make money out of this. He's not great. So if he's great, we don't respect him because he's just trying to show off. People want to touch his feet. He wants to be worshipped. And if he's an ordinary, we don't think. So the point is that when you see such a person, and could be in any form, could be even your neighbor or your friend or your... Recognize the person and get their blessings. Receive the blessings of these saints. Because when you receive the blessings, you may not realize it at that time, but it has great power. Slowly it will change your life. Slowly you will find that your mental attitude will change. Your thinking will change and it will uplift your thinking. At least I personally, I mean, not that I am very great or anything, but whatever little I have studied or evolved is because of contact of these all these great Mahatmas, either personally or in the case of Swami Chinmayananda, I did hear him personally, but also reading his books, watching the videos, listening to the tapes and all. So receive their blessings. And whenever you find an opportunity to meet a great person or read a good book or watch a good video or a book, CD, take advantage of that. Because that is the only way to develop love for God, is to see it in practice. Otherwise, it is theory. You know, these nine things, you know, somebody wrote it. Okay, so what? But when you see a wise person who actually is living all those, then it's like you see a living example of what? It's like a practical demonstration, like you do, some problem in school. H2 plus O, you know, H plus O makes H2O makes water. You know, that's a maybe or may not be. But then when your teacher does an experiment, she puts an anode and a cathode and it separates the water into hydrogen and oxygen. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I know it's true, whatever was in the books. So similarly, what nine you have read in the books, you can see it in the life of this individual. That's why the company of the saintly people is considered as the best. There are two short stories. Do you want me to tell them or do you want to discuss? So what are the examples? Let us give, you know, say, oh, how do we believe that? You know, you're just, maybe you're bluffing. So we say, okay, wait a minute. We have three examples. One we already heard, Prahlad. We heard about how he, with the company of saints, he became a great soul. Valmiki was, his name originally was Ratnakar. And he was a dacoit. He was a looter. And what he used to do, he used to hide in the forest. And there was a road that went from one town to another town and had to go through the forest. And he had a lot of, he was very strong. So whenever he found a business person or somebody traveling, you know, people would take their goods, or after they had sold their goods would be coming back with money and they would have lots of money. He would capture them, would hide in the forest, grab them, very strong, a lot of weapons. But then he would not only steal their money, but he would kill them. So that they shouldn't go and tell anybody, you know, that and so people thought, oh, maybe a lion took them or, you know, something happened. He would hide their body. So many rich people were killed by him and all that money taken. So it so happened that one day he couldn't find any victim. And there was this same Naradji, that same saint who had talked to Prahlad, remember, and talked to his mother. He happened to be walking by. So he thought, even though this is a monk, maybe he has some money because some rich man might have given him some money and all. So he grabs him and he takes out his sword and he said, I'm going to kill you. He said, why do you want to kill me? He said, maybe you have some money. Maybe you went to some rich man's house, they gave you. He said, look, you can check my packet. I have no money. I have nothing. All I have is a little food. You're welcome to have this food. So he says, then the saint asks him, why are you doing this? Why are you killing people and robbing their money and all? He said, to feed my wife and children. He says, but you know what? You are committing a lot of sin. He says, yeah. So he says, do you think your wife and child will share in that sin? You know, because you are committing for... He says, of course they will. If I am committing the sin for them to bring them food, of course they will. He says, okay, why don't you go ask them? He says, if I go ask them, you will run away. He says, no, you can tie me to a tree. Tie me to a tree. And I'll wait here. Go ask your wife and son if they will share in your sins. You know, because you have killed so many people. So will they be partners? So he goes and talks to his wife. His wife says, honey, look, I know I love you very much. But I didn't ask you to kill people. You know, I said you earn a living, but not like this, killing and robbing. Sorry, you're on your own. I'm not going to share in. He said, you shared in the wealth. She said, I didn't know how you were getting it. I didn't know you had killed so many people. Otherwise, I would have never been a partner to. As far as I'm concerned, you suffer your own sin. I'm sorry. I'm through. So then he goes and asks his child. And his child says, father, the child was a teenager. He said, father, look, is that whatever mom says is right. We didn't ask you to murder and kill. You committed, even otherwise, we cannot share your sins. You know, nobody else can share the sins for him. He becomes very sad. He says, look, you know, there is now I've committed all these crimes. So he comes back to the saint and says, you were right. You know, I did all these wrong things and nobody is willing to share my sins and I'm going to have to burn in hell forever. So is there any solution? Saint says, yes, there is a solution. He says, what? He said, chant the name of the Lord. Really, that's all? He says, yeah, that's all. Just stay here. He gives him the mantra. He says, chant Ram, Ram, Ram. You know, Ram was God's name. Just chant that. Keep on chanting. And chant with devotion and don't stop. So he says, you think it will work? He says, I'm telling you it will work. Because he was not educated. You know, he couldn't teach him mantras. He couldn't tell him, you are Brahman and, you know, you are Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, all the Gyan, knowledge, all those, you know. He couldn't teach him all those things, you know, path of meditation, path. He was an ignorant, you know, criminal. So he said, okay, just sit and chant the name of the Lord. And so he said, okay. So he started chanting and chanting, Ram, Ram, on and on, on and on. And he got so engrossed in it that he just disappeared. His whole thinking became engrossed with that higher. And he said, you see, these people who are very determined, who are very focused, he was a great robber, but when they turn their mind towards spirituality, they become a great, you know, seeker also, because they have that determination. So they say a person who is successful in one field, it may even be a robber or a bank robber, if he turns his mind, if he's able to achieve that, he can achieve the other two. And so he starts meditating, and he for months and years, he stayed there, and he just, for years, and that's what happens when you go into this deep samadhi meditation, then God takes care of you. You don't have to eat, drink, nothing. You can just stay for years because the consciousness, and that's what, so he stayed for years to a point where mud grew around him. His whole body was covered by mud, and there was a lot of mud flowing around. And ants started living, and they built a house around him. That's why he was called Valmiki, which means ants, the house of ants. So ants were living around him, and you couldn't see his body. All you could see was a mud hill, and ants were living. So he didn't bother him. He was fine. You know, he was enjoying that bliss of that merger with the Lord. And so this same monk, Naradji, after a few years, he comes back. He says, let me see what happened to that robber. You know, I gave him the mantra. So he walks back, and he sees this anthill, and he gets an intuition. He says, there's something. This is not... And only, and he could feel the vibrations. And so he takes his hand and he separates the mud, and out comes this man. But by now he had become a saint. He was no longer Ratnakar, he was Valmiki. He was given the name Valmiki. And he became such a great saint that he composed beautiful, the whole Ramayana, the story of Ram and all its messages. One of the great texts was composed by him in Sanskrit, in pure Sanskrit. He was an ignorant person had never gone to school, but by that grace of the Lord and by that meditation, he actually became one of the greatest poets and authors and scholars. And see, the ego had died, that criminal was dead. So all his karmas died with him because he was reborn. They say, you know, the second Christ or the second reborn. So he was born again, but the ego, old ego had died. So all his old karmas died with him. So he now was a saint, and he lived as a life as a saint. So how? Just by contact with one saint. See, his whole life, how did it change? Just by meeting one saint and getting one mantra. Second is the story of Prahlad we already talked about. And Dhruva is another young boy. It is said that his king was a very powerful king, and his father was a very powerful king, and his mother died when he was just a little boy, just maybe a year or two old. And then the king remarried, and then the stepmother, the second queen, had also a son. So he was a couple of years younger than Dhruva. Dhruva was about 2 years old, and the other one was just born, kind of thing. So one day Dhruva was sitting in his father's lap, in the king's lap, and playing. And the stepmother comes and she roughly pulls him out. He said, get out of here. You cannot sit in your father's lap. My son will sit. And so she puts her son in the father's lap and throws him down. So he starts crying. He said, I want to sit in my father's lap. He says, if you want to sit in your father's lap, you should have been born to me. But you were born to another woman and she's dead. So as far as I'm concerned, you can never sit in your father's lap. So the little boy, by that time he's about 5 or 6 years old, and he's crying. He's very sad. He said, I want to sit in my father's lap. I want my father. And he's so sad, he starts crying and he leaves the palace. He says, I'm not going to come back. I want my father. If I can't have my father, I'm So as he's walking, that same Naradji, that same saint, he shows up there too. That's why he shows up everywhere, wherever he's needed. And he asked the young boy, he said, "Why are you crying, young boy?" He said, "I want my father's lap. I want to stay in my father's." He says, "How about if I introduce you to a father who is much greater than your father, who is the father of the whole universe? Would you like to sit in his lap?" "Oh, of course. You know, if he's greater than my father, the lap, the lord of the whole universe, of course I would like to sit. What should I do? What should I do?" He says, "You chant this mantra." So he had this habit of giving mantras to people. So he gives him this mantra, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva." He says, "Just chant that mantra." He says, "Just chant it. And just sit and chant." And so this young boy gets convinced. He's about 6 years old. So he goes and sits in one corner under the tree and starts chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting and doesn't move for months and on and on and on and on. And finally, you know, his devotion, a young child, his love is so pure that God gets moved, you know, that this child has so much love for me. And God appears in front of him. And this boy is in so much ecstasy, in his samadhi, he doesn't even open his eyes. God is standing in front of him, you know, this in this form. He doesn't want to open his eyes. He's in his bliss, and God, you know, wants him to see him. Because he is blessed here to bless him. He's in his own bliss. So then God touches him with his conch. You know, he has this conch and his. So he touches his cheek and then he opens his eyes and he sees God in front of him. And then he composes a very beautiful song. He says, "The God that I see outside, you are the same that is within me." So within and outside, I see you alone. You are outside, but you are also within me. So there's a very beautiful Sanskrit verse that he comes out of him spontaneously, which means he had understood the truth that there is only one reality who is inside and outside and everywhere. And then he became a great saint and he became a great teacher. And then he comes back, and then of course his father and everybody realizes, you know, what a great saint he is. And you know, by that time he's a young man, and they all of course then respect him and all. And by then of course he, you know, he's not interested in the kingship or the father's lap and all, because he has discovered the Heavenly Father, you know, who has come and held him himself. And it is said that when he died, you know, the North Star, here we call it the North Star. In India, it is called Dhruvatara. It is named after him. He was such a great saint that they changed the name of the North Star and they call it Dhruvatara, Dhruva Star. So that is the point, is that the contact, even same thing, he met this saint only one time. And he gave him only one mantra. See, you and I, we listen to this so many times. We have met so many saints. We have read so many books and nothing happens. You know, we still remain the same as we were foolish. But these three people, all they needed was one time and they could change. So the idea is that take advantage of when you meet a saintly person and when you get this right knowledge, don't let it go to waste, but bring it into your life. So that is the beauty of this company of saintly people, satsang. It was very nice today. Thank you all for giving me the opportunity to share this. It's very beautiful stories, very inspiring.
They had an opportunity to sit there and chant the name. We have to work in the world, so that's a little different.
Yeah, but you still make time. You can make time every day.
Well, true, but make time every day, and they're like doing it all 24 hours a day, so
their ability to reach
bliss. No, because but they were able to leave. See, he left his parents.
True. We live in a different
and Prahlad actually did not. He was going to school and doing everything, but he was constantly remembering the Lord.
Okay.
He kept going to school and doing, but then he constantly remembered throughout his day. He remembered. So you can do that throughout the day. Remember him, chant his name, and express your gratitude, and then keep a little picture in your car, keep one in your house, and whenever you see him, whenever you get up in the morning, get up by chanting his name. Before, during a shower, you can chant his name. Before eating, you remember him, you know, before going to bed, before you start your work day, before you leave your house, you know, bow down when you go back home. So find opportunities as often as possible, and then read, you know, read, spend some time at night reading good books. Meditation every day, at least 1 hour should be spent in meditation. I do, at least I spend at least 1 hour. Rarely I skip, but most of the time sometimes I do even more than an hour. But if nothing, at least half an hour one should do. Meditate, and at night, definitely before you go to bed, read something good. So find every opportunity to remember him. And then, you know, gatherings like these, and then we have lectures by different saints in town. So attend the lectures and, you know, talk to them. Serve them lunch or dinner. That's what, here also you have an opportunity to serve lunch or dinner to these visiting acharyas. So by doing that, you get to spend exclusive time with them. The main thing is listen to them and apply that in your life.
I think just surrounding yourself with people like that,
right,
as much as you can is important.
Yep, very good point. They don't have to wear orange clothes or have a priest's habit. They could be in street clothes. But if they have the divine qualities, yeah. And then some may have something and some may have something. And you can always learn from other people. Yes, definitely, yeah. Surrounding yourself with good people and being alert to seeing this goodness in the people. And then bringing it into your own conduct. See, that's very important. You have, first of all, good thoughts, good speech, then good conduct, all three things. So change your behavior so that you slowly change the direction of your actions and your thoughts and your words to that. But that's a very good point. Thank you. Yes.
And conversely, trying to avoid negative.
Right.
The best you can.
As best you can. And if you have to, somebody's extremely negative, then you just let the Lord worry about him. Oh Lord, please bless him and take care of him. Don't get hatred within yourself. Don't let that person affect you so much that you change your behavior. If you have to, then watch it, and it's okay. You know, if I can avoid him, fine. But suppose I can't, I live in the same house or whatever, then it's okay. Or I work with that, then it's okay. You know, let the Lord worry about it.